Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a Patreon at patreon.com/thedeltaflyers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Robbie.
Well, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing hello. Good. G'day. G'day, Robbie. If I
G'day.
Say hello in an Aussie accent. You moved. You're now in Utah.
I did. I'm in my new studio, home studio, I guess you'd call it. Sort of set up here, but it's very echoey right now. I'm going to have to work on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the best I could do for today's recording. We just moved in this week, but we will continue to refine the acoustics.
Yes.
Of this room.
Of the sound of that room. Yeah. When it's an empty room, definitely you can hear the echo. But as you start furnishing it, I'm sure that the audio will improve.
Yes.
Yeah. So the move was uneventful, right? I mean, no.
The move was uneventful. No, it's, I would say, you know, we came down from 8 months up in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I've been working up there. We've been living in downtown Vancouver in a big city. And then we moved into this house that we had bought last August very quickly. And we'd only seen it a few times and bought the house and then went to Canada. So when we got here, I wasn't sure what to expect, honestly. I was like, I hope we didn't make a mistake. It's better than my memory. Like it honestly, I am so happy.
Sweet.
With our decision. So yeah, it's great. It's
That's really awesome. Great. Okay. I mean, better than your memory is better than what you could hope for, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's good. Yeah. How far are you from like city? Because I know you're kind of out in the boonies, right? So
yeah, well, it's pretty rural out here. It's we're probably just under an hour from Salt Lake.
Okay.
About 20 minutes or less to Park City, Utah. Okay.
So to go to the closest grocery store. Is that in
10
Park
minutes? No.
Oh, there's one 10 minutes from you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. We're up on the side of a mountain, but there's a couple grocery stores. There's a Walmart. There's everything we need.
Okay.
12 minutes from here.
I thought you had to drive 40 minutes to an hour to get to a Walmart.
No.
Or to a grocery store.
No.
Man, that's not good.
No. It feels like the thing I love about my new home, and I'm so grateful for, is, oh, by the way, I went out and did like a 2-hour hike this morning with Walter up in the mountains.
Oh my gosh.
Because there's trails right outside of my house, right on my street.
That's awesome.
400 acres of trails right behind my house.
You don't need to drive to hike. It's right there.
It's right there. It's great mountain biking. It's snowshoeing in the winter. Yeah, I'm a very, very lucky, very excited, very grateful person for this this new house. So
now how does your dog like, how does Walter like that hike? Is he happy, excited?
He loves the hike. He loves going up on the mountain. We're having there's no fence in our house. So we're having kind of a dog fence installed in the back so he can run around our property.
Yeah.
Just run free.
Yeah.
Because he's a runner for sure.
And you need to make it high enough because he's big enough. He can jump, you know, certain fences. So be careful with that. You don't want that.
Yeah.
All right on. Well, congratulations on the move.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see your new pad.
Thank you.
Yeah, when it happens. This week's episode is The Q in the Gray. So Robbie and I are going to go watch this episode and come back and give you our thoughts on that. For all of you Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Hey guys, Robbie and I are back from watching The Q and the Gray. The Q and
the Gray. Yes, we are. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was with it for the whole ride. It was very silly and
fun. Oh, good.
And
good.
Some good thoughts in there. And I thought it was, I had a great time.
Okay. Story by Sean Piller. Teleplay by Ken Biller. That's kind of funny. Sean Piller, Ken Biller. So
yeah, you know
Piller,
what's
Biller.
Interesting? So I was after I watched it, made my notes and everything,
yeah.
I was waiting for you because you always take twice as long as me.
I do.
And I started doing a little Googling and realize that this story was Sean Pillar, but so was Death Wish, if you recall, the Q episode.
Oh, right. Yes.
Right? That was yes. Sean Pillar. And I'm not sure how much of this story was actually Sean Pillar, or maybe Ken Biller used some of the story elements of the Q who wanted to die, which is the thing that instigated this civil war in the continuum.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sean may have gotten more credit than maybe he really deserved, isn't the right word, but like it's based on Death Wish more than this story was very much, it sounds like, from what I read around the internet, sounds like Ken Biller's story mostly, and that Sean may not have had as much to do with this, but it was based on the Q backstory of Death Wish and the Q who wanted to commit suicide and all of that. So I think it's interesting. I also thought, sorry, I'm going to ramble for a minute about Sean Pillar.
Yeah.
So Sean was Michael Pillar's adopted son. He was not his biological son.
Correct.
And they've talked about this. Michael did, and when he was alive, and Sean has as well. You know, Sean was adopted, and very much Michael was his father figure, but Michael was not Sean's biological father. And I thought it was interesting some of the story elements in this episode about parenting, about, you know, Janeway talking to Q about, you can't just have a baby and then it's done. Like, if you want to pass on your values and you and who you are, what matters to you, you've got to be involved as a parent.
Yeah.
And Janeway was talking to Q about that. And I thought, oh, that's interesting coming from a Sean Pillar story, because his biological father was not around, but Michael was around. And so who passed on the values that he had? It was Michael passed those on to Sean. So
correct.
I thought it was some interesting backstory to where this story came from. And Ken Biller's involvement, Mike and Sean Pillar's involvement.
Right. But if you are correct about Ken Biller being the main drive of this story, of this teleplay at least, and that Sean Pillar is getting credit because he had Death Wish, right? Then the dialogue in terms of the passing on is really just coincidental at that point, right? You know, that's
Ken's interpretation of
Sean's situation.
I don't know. Yeah. That all of that came to mind.
Yeah,
as I listened to it and sort of knowing the lineage of this story, you know, all the players involved. Ken Pillar.
Yeah. And as far as I know, I mean, when Sean Pillar was adopted officially by Michael Pillar, I think he was very young, you know. I mean, really.
Yeah, I think so too.
When Michael married Sean's mother, he basically, you know, he got the whole package, right? So
yeah.
you marry a woman who has children from a prior marriage, you get the whole package, which is basically what happened with Michael and Sean. And Sean really, for all intents and purposes, followed in the footsteps of his father, you know,
of his Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
Of not his biological father,
of his adopted father in terms of writing, producing television shows and other content for film and television. So, you know, it's really, there's no blood relation, but that's definitely his son, you know, if you look at it that way. Okay. What is your haiku? Your haiku synopsis.
Here we go. My haiku synopsis. Again, I'm going to give, you know, some combo credit to Rebecca McNeil for her contributions to the poetry of the Delta Flyers. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. The haiku. Q wants a baby. Janeway already has three. Double Q ends war. Because, you know, she has salamander babies with me. So. Q wants a baby. Janeway already has three. Double Q ends war.
Wait, were there three
bam,
salamander?
Bam, bam, bam.
Were there three? I thought there were two babies.
No, there were three.
It was three. Okay.
I think when you get the toy, you only get two. But when in the movie, in the episode, there were three. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
That would mess up my whole haiku, but I
yeah,
think
that
so.
would mess you up your
I think
haiku
it's
if you didn't.
three.
Okay, is it three? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I just had to, you know, Q
yeah.
wants to have a baby with Janeway, and it's like,
yeah.
wait a minute. She's already had a couple babies.
Yeah. My limerick. Here we go. My limerick for Q and the Gray. Civil war breaks out amongst the Q. The request to mate is met with you. An offer is brought, but Q is caught. Janeway saved by the Voyager crew.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Did you like that one?
I okay. like that one. All Anytime right. you can get ew.
Ew in there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was funny. It was clever. The rhymes worked. You captured the whole plot. Very, very, very well done.
You, thank you. Okay.
You didn't reference my three salamander babies. But
I didn't,
whatever.
And I didn't reference football either. So that's
no,
a good
thank
thing.
God, thank God. You can leave my babies out if you don't. If you just leave football out.
That's okay, fine. Good, good. Yeah. All righty, let's dig right in. We start with the scene on the bridge where we're
yep.
all viewing the. Supernova explosion.
The supernova explosion. And by the way, I remember filming this scene and Marvin Rush, the DP, yes, because he had brought out a super big light.
Mm.
I don't remember what it was, but if you see those shots on the bridge, it gets really bright.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought out the special light that, and it was hot. And because I was down in front, in the front row, I remember feeling the heat of that light. It was really quite
Ooh.
Hot. So
maybe you got burned.
Slightly. I did. I got light burned.
You got light burned.
I did.
You got
supernova
burned.
Crispy.
And this is a record. This is a record. There are only two other crews in Starfleet
yes.
history that have viewed this, but neither of the crews were as close as the Voyager crew in proximity to this supernova explosion. We were
yep.
less than 10 billion kilometers, which is a record. Evidently,
just, it is.
Yeah, I do love how we're all standing there and we're just doing this polite golf clap sort of while
yeah,
watching
it was,
this.
It was adorable.
Yeah,
and this is the scene where Robert Picardo has the famous line.
Yes,
where he says, "Remember, Cass.
Yes,
anyone can stargaze on the bridge.
Yes,
but the real action is in sickbay."
Right.
This
and
is the
this
one.
Is- The one I joke. This is the one I do all the time.
Oh,
actually.
And then Beltran does it as well.
He does. He copies me. So I started doing, you know, whenever someone wants me to do an impersonation at a convention of the
this
doctor,
is the line.
This is the line I use, but I quote it incorrectly.
You do.
Because
you
his line.
You left
yes.
Out.
I yeah. left out one part. And the other thing that I noticed is I give it more zhuzh when I do it. And the doctor is uncharacteristically kind of sedate.
Yeah.
In his delivery. Like he's really
very,
low key. He's sort
yeah,
of like, he's
key.
Like, just remember, Kes, anybody can stargaze on the bridge, even a hologram with a mobile emitter. But the real action will always be in sickbay. He does it that way. And
even
the way I did it.
Less than what you did.
Yes,
even
I
less.
Do it. Right. I don't yeah, say the mobile emitter
line.
I go,
flair.
Just remember, Kes, anybody can stargaze on the bridge, but the real action happens in sickbay. So I do more.
Yes,
there's
you
more
do a
flair.
Lot of zhuzh.
No. I zhuzh it. But I don't put the even a hologram with a mobile emitter. I don't have
you
that because I never
yeah.
remembered that. I only remembered, but the real action happens in sickbay. And it doesn't happen. It says the real action will always be in sickbay. So my memory is a little faulty. So thank God the Delta Flyers is happening.
Thank God
now
for this
I
podcast
thank
and correcting
God.
These.
Correcting these fallacies that
these
for
are
years
the things, though,
have been
this
perpetuated.
Is the,
you
that
know?
Perpetuate. This is a great example of you and I were both there,
yeah.
but you have for 20 years now,
yeah.
you have 20, quoted,
26. Yeah.
you have quoted a different version of this. And
right.
thank God for the Delta Flyers correcting
oh,
history, keeping it real. Thank you. Okay. So yeah. So Janeway goes to her quarters and she opens and she's tired and Chakotay's like, you got to rest. And she opens the door and there is a giant heart-shaped bed with satin sheets and heart-shaped pillows.
Mm-hmm.
And her first line is, computer, intruder alert, which I love.
Hey, before you continue, did you notice
yes.
that Janeway has another hair clip, a metallic hair clip in
know.
Her hair? Yeah, because we talked about she had in Future's End, even Brandon Braga brought that up about how he's like, hey, did you notice that, like, that hair clip that Janeway's wearing? Because she has a triangular brass or you know, gold looking hair clip in Future's End. But then now in this episode, it's like a double triangular silver colored hair clip. So all of a sudden Janeway's wearing, you know, sporting all these hair clips now that she never did before.
Hair is clearly a big challenge for Star Trek.
Hair is always
you watch all of the characters, even you and I notice with our basic,
our hair
could not have a more basic haircut.
Yeah.
And yet it's constantly like, whoa, it's kind of poofy. Whoa, it's too short.
It's long for Harry in this episode. I noticed
that.
Harry's hair is a little full. And I do remember
Tom's kind of crew cutty.
It's crew cutty, but I remember that I remember the hair department kept letting it, they'd let it go. I asked them, I said, can we go longer? Can we not be as short, you know, for this season or whatever? And I remember they let me grow it out a little bit more. Wow. But then, as you'll see in successive seasons, it gets hacked off again, back to the shorter look. Yeah. All right, so back to the fluffy bed and the set and sheets.
Fluffy bed. Yeah. Basically, Q wants to have a baby with Janeway.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's in a robe. He looks like, you know, a poor man's Hugh Hefner. it's very funny, always hilarious.
And it's funny how she hides it from Chakotay. She's on the comm with him and she's just telling him, oh my gosh, I had a visit from Q. And, you know, Chakotay obviously is curious.
Jealous.
He's like, what?
Yeah, he's jealous.
All right. But then she said, if you think about it, she would have said, if Janeway had no feelings for Chakotay,
she would have said
Q showed up and he's trying to make
have
with
a
me.
Baby.
But she says he has a personal request. So she sort of like, you know,
she's trying to protect him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a mutual attraction there. Yeah. Yes. For sure.
And he's jealous totally.
Yes. And so they're in Janeway's quarters and Chakotay, you know, says it really bothers the hell out of him that Q made this request to mate. And while they're, or is that actually the ready room? Excuse me. I think we're probably in the ready room at that point when he's, when Q pops in and does the bigger face tattoo thing, is that in the ready room or the quarters? I'm trying to remember.
That is in her ready room. That is in her office.
Yeah, it's in her office, right? So
a giant face tattoo.
Yeah,
yes. Which he goes, mine is bigger than his. Awkward moment. Awkward.
Very awkward moment. My goodness.
Boy.
And I'm wondering, that was definitely Michael Westmore probably painting that massive tattoo.
Oh yeah, I would think
so. Right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Then we go to the resort themed hologram.
Yeah.
Or the holodeck program.
The Talaxian resort
Talaxian resort. And there's Tom Paterson, Harry Kim, and they're doing their crew evaluations. And
getting a massage. We're getting a
massage. Yeah. It's really tough.
It's nice.
Hard work. Doing these crew evaluations.
Can I stop you for 1 second? Are you sure this isn't the scene where you had on the ladies sort of velvety negligee? Are you sure this wasn't the scene?
Maybe.
Because look at you. Okay. You've got that really dumpy looking t-shirt on. Okay.
That's
and I've
true.
Got, I've got the little tank top thing on. So I'm thinking maybe this was the scene. Tossed down that negligee that they
and
gave you.
And I was
you,
like, look what they want me to wear.
Yes.
Yeah. You might be right. Laughing. You might be
this
right.
This might be the day. Yeah.
It was definitely at that resort for sure.
Yes.
We only did a couple of scenes, you know, we only did a handful of scenes there.
On stage 16, that's where they built the resort. And I'm on your side with that. That definitely was so anti what Tom Paris would wear. I mean, Tom Paris would never select a velvet top, black velvet top with the thin satin straps that come over. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, I honestly thought that it was Candid Camera. It was an episode of Candid Camera. Someone's going to pop out and go, just kidding, Robbie. That's not your real wardrobe. This is your real wardrobe. That's what I thought it was. Yeah. I mean, it was so not what Tom would wear.
Well, I can't believe Q came in and he just stole our girls. He did our massages.
He did.
He stole our massages And I thought it was very adorable that Harry and Tom were both very protective of Janeway.
Yes, we were.
We were very protective and telling Q, like he was asking questions. He wanted some insight into, you know, Janeway and how he could convince her to have babies.
Yeah.
And we were like, stay away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And we leave. And then Neelix is protective too. He goes to Neelix. Neelix is kind of combative with Q and like, leave her alone. And I thought it was amazing when Q reaches over and pulls out a hair of Neelix's beard. It's like, why
are you doing that?
Why would you do that?
He's a bully. And then before this whole interaction, remember, he calls Neelix bar rodent. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He's like, bar rodent, I'll take another one of these. And it's oh boy, look at you.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Q, 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 Q.
Janeway's ready room. She's now in the room and she hears a little puppy, puppy. And Q pops in and we realize that he's giving a gift of a little itsy bitsy puppy, which kind of looks like the dog that Janeway left behind in the Alpha Quadrant with Mark, actually. The younger version of it, right?
Yeah.
And then female Q pops in and refers to Janeway as a dog, right?
Yeah,
she's like, what are you doing with that dog? And
so what are you doing with that dog? I'm not talking about that puppy. before that, though, I want to comment on John DeLancey has a line where he says something like, I impressed females of every species. And he made this face that was like, he goes, for those just listening, I'm making a huge over-the-top,
exaggerated open mouth.
Oh my God. John DeLancey's face. It reminded me of Alan Tudyk on Resident Alien.
Oh yeah.
He's doing those crazy alien
over the top
reactions. I was like, oh my God, I've never seen John DeLancey make a face. He was like, being coy and funny. Like, I had all these girlfriends around the universe.
Yeah.
And he looks at Janeway and makes that face. I thought it was hilarious.
It is funny.
A very funny moment.
See, this is the only time, guys, all you aspiring actors out there, this is the only time that you can really facial mug is if you're playing a character like Q. If you're playing a Q-like character, then you're allowed to do this crazy facial mugging. And typical, this is typically a trap that beginning actors will fall into, where they'll do all these extra things with their mouth and their eyes and their eyebrows. And it's just too much. It's like, when you typically have a conversation with somebody.
Typically it's way too much, but
for
DeLancey to play a Q, you don't need to do all them big facial expressions, but that was very funny. You have a perfect opportunity to do it.
That was funny. So Susie Plaxton, played by Susie Plaxton, comes in. She comes in and plays.
She's amazing.
She's so good. Oh my God. So and, but then again, Susie's had experience on Trek. She's played a Vulcan before in Next Gen.
Wow.
She played a half Klingon, half human female on Next Gen as well in two different episodes. And she was also, I think, an Andorian in Enterprise. So she's played four different types of characters on Star Trek. So she did a wonderful job.
She was so good. I mean, it's hard to keep up with John DeLancey and the legacy of these cues, but she just came right out of the gate, super strong and fun and funny attitude. And
Did you see, you probably didn't see, but I posted on the Patreon feed footage that I took of Susie Plaxton singing karaoke at a Star Trek convention. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So, I'll have to check that out.
You'll have to check that one out, but talented all around for sure.
Yeah. We go out on the bridge, Susie Plaxton, the female Q, she walks out on the bridge with us. We realize there have been three supernovas, that something's going on. This is Q's fault. And now we're about to feel three simultaneous shock waves from these supernovas. We need Q to save us.
Right.
You know, we basically beg Q, please save us. And John DeLancey Q all of a sudden steals Janeway and they disappear off the bridge.
Well, he granted her request. She said, get us out of here. And to Q, he meant, that means you and me? Sure. And so he snaps his finger.
Exactly.
And boom, they're now gone. And now, now we know where they went. Before, when we were discussing on the Patreon,
Was it a holodeck?
We weren't sure where they went, but now we know. They went to the Q continuum in a Civil War era setting background is what we see. Right?
And yeah, they go there and Q says to her that she's experiencing all of this in a way that she can understand.
Yes.
That basically this Civil War thing is just a metaphor for what's going on in the continuum, because she could not possibly really understand the true experience of what the Qs were going through. So
correct. And we find out that Q basically explains to Janeway that Quinn, the other Q that passed away in Death Wish, his death sparked basically a revolution led by John Delancey Q, a revolution for individualism and for freedom. And this is how the Civil War began. And the Civil War itself is what is causing all the supernova explosions. And the only way around this or to stop this is that Janeway needs to mate with Q to become the mother of peace. That's the proposal. And of course, Janeway's not happy about this. She's not even in the least bit interested in doing this. Q is also injured in this scene and he's bleeding. So this is when we first realize, there's something going on here affecting the Qs. This inter-Q rivalry or battle is now causing all types of chaos and problems in the continuum as well as with all the Q. They're experiencing issues. We go back to the bridge. It is now in shambles from the shock waves. Female Q is still there. She is injured as well. We find out later that she tried to jump into the continuum, but was injured in the process. Her powers have been neutralized. There's just problems all around.
Yeah. And I loved, by the way, just to jump back to when Delancey is talking to Janeway at one point, he says, he calls Chakotay Chuckles.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And I was like, wait a minute, I got to rewind that.
Yeah.
Did you just say that? It's like, oh, yeah, and Chuckles is blah, blah, blah. I thought that was very funny.
That was funny. Good old that word. And also when Kate Mulgrew, the actress off camera, said as a joke that that Chakotay was Irish, that his name was Chakotay, was what it was.
That's right. Female Q stays on the bridge. She explains to Chakotay and the remaining crew that these Qs are losing their powers. Mm-hmm. This battle is, in the continuum is very destructive and very dangerous and is raging on. And we go back into this sort of antebellum house. The battle rages on. I do remember... there's some stunts in there. There's some explosions and, gunfire coming through the glass.
Yeah.
So all the glass in that set is made of candy. It's basically sugar. It's not real glass. It's very safe. And they would shoot basically paintballs through the glass and it would put these holes in the glass. And I remember I must have been down shadowing. This was Cliff Bowl directing, I think.
Mm.
I wanted to see the effects and the action in the scene because it was on a stage. Mm-hmm. So they were shooting through the candy glass. They had an explosion of fire when I assume in a Civil War story, a cannonball or something hits.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice though, that there were some sparks from like the light candelabra falls down or something. The chandelier falls down and there were some sparks. And I thought, we use sparks all the time on the ship. But in a period antebellum battle, there sparks come from either metal scraping and creating a spark,
right?
Or electricity, you know, creating. This is a Civil War story. There's no electricity.
There's no electricity.
There's no metal. These are wooden buildings. Like it should have been fire and, gunpowdery type explosions. But instead, there was this giant sparks raining down. I just thought,
you're right.
We kind of went to our sci-fi effect.
Yeah.
But it really should be a Civil War effect. It should be something different. So just a little detail. But I thought that sequence, that battle played kind of cool, considering it was all reflections you saw in the glass, the reflections of like Atlanta burning almost. It was that sort of moment. mm-hmm. where the continuum is burning, you see that this battle is huge.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just to rewind before the plantation house, there was one scene in the conference room. So after the bridge, they go to the conference room.
Yes.
And Female Q is explaining to Chakotay and Tuvok that the Civil War is causing all this, you know, chaos. Yeah. But I loved her line when she said something to the effect that she was tossed aside by someone 5 billion years younger.
Oh, yeah.
So when you talk about, you know, that typical cliche, the husband left his wife for the woman 10 years
younger. She's like 5 billion years younger.
Yeah, I love that. Funny. I love that.
That was very funny.
Going back, plantation.
We go to
house.
Engineering after this mansion battle. We go to engineering. I love this scene with
what
Balana.
A great scene.
Balana and the female Q. Mm-hmm.
The verbal sparring is just absolutely amazing. Did she have a name? That's a good question. I don't recall hearing.
I don't recall it either.
Balana is basically performing a complete reconfiguration of the shield array, as suggested by Female Q. And Female Q is a little, you know, impatient. She's basically coming into engineering to ask Balana if she's done. You know, are you done yet? Are you done yet? And that is when the verbal sparring begins between Balana and Female Q. And
by the way, I did just look it up.
Yeah.
It is credited as Miss Q.
Miss Q.
Her name. Miss Q.
Which could be M-I-S-C-U-E, a Miss Q as well.
Miss Q or Miss Q. But there is no
name
that I can see.
Miss Q is a bit of a Miss Q.
Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't have named her Miss Q. That's silly. Okay. Yeah. It should have been something like Gladys. I don't know. So I feel that this was one of the best scenes in terms of, you have Balana, who's such a formidable opponent when it comes to verbal or physical sparring. And so she's ready to go. And then the humorous line for me is at the very end when Susie Plaxton says, "I've always liked Klingon females. You've got such spunk." And the humor or the inside joke is she played exactly what B'Elanna is, half human, half Klingon in Next
That's
Generation.
Right.
So for her to say that, it's pretty
silly. Very ironic.
Which then reminds me of an audition I just self-taped where I actually have a line where I talk about, where I say, I'm talking about iPads and I say like, you know, all this technology is—it just seems like Star Trek to me. So I actually had a line that I had to say in a recent audition. Yes, so I thought it was
funny. Yeah. So we go to night in the camp
in the woods
and in the woods, and Q is losing, and Janeway tells him that how she saved his life. She followed the retreating, his compatriots that were retreating, and it looked like they were losing. We realize that Q says that they'd never have sex because Janeway suggests, why don't you have a baby with this woman? Clearly there's a history there. There's a connection there.
With Miss Q.
with Miss Q. And he says, no, Qs don't have sex. It's never been done.
Yeah. And then she says, Janeway says, well, never been done. Then how are you here? And he says, well, we've always been here. We have always been here. So we don't have sex per se. Right. Mm-hmm. So.
But it's interesting because he says, we don't copulate. But yet he also in that earlier scene implied that he had had all these, you know, romances with all of these women.
Yeah.
You know, so many women. So it's interesting, like. Yeah, the cues are very mysterious that way, clearly. And and clearly he has no idea about how to raise a child because he says at one point, he's like, I'm an idea man, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm an idea man. I'm not here to raise a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, Janeway's saying you've got to, if you want him to have your values, you want him to have your beliefs, you've got to do the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that scene, actually. I thought that scene was very well written about parenting, about, you know, responsibility, about male-female relationships. It was just a great, I thought Ken Biller did a great job writing that scene. So
it's a good scene. Good scene. Good dialogue, for sure.
Yeah, great dialogue.
So now we head to the bridge and we have Miss Q in her normal kind of, how would you describe her personality?
Catty, yes, kind of drama queenie, catty,
entitled sort of,
entitled, you know?
The scene starts with her calling
femme fatale.
The scene starts with her calling you Helm Boy.
She says Helm Boy,
and
then it pans over to me.
A long close up on you. Holy moly!
Where I just am like,
I'm gonna have to say that is the most furrowed brow look that I've seen on Tom Paris up until this point. Of all the episodes, you never see Tom's, you know, brow area just furrow like that. So
yeah, it was awesome. I was very happy with that reaction. Come on, I'm funny. Yeah. I'm funny in the show. I do funny stuff. Okay. I hope to be funny. I think that was funny.
Okay.
And then I turn around, I'm like, hey, Commander.
Yeah. Okay? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, let's do
and
it.
He rolls his eyes, though. Yeah. That was great. So there's
it was a long double take to her calling me Helm Boy.
They were on you forever. That
was great.
That shot was
funny.
Annoyed. I don't know if I would call it funny. I thought it was cute. I would say that you were annoyed. Thanks. I don't know. You were trying to go for comedic.
I think I was going for the comedic
relief. Were you going for comedic relief at that point? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. Okay.
We see this light. We head towards these new coordinates for another event. And that light, I remember that light again. Special light that Marvin Rush ordered.
Yeah, we're heading straight towards another star about to go supernova, according to Harry. Yep. And then the female Q is like, oh, no, guys, it's okay. You know, I know what's going to happen. And I know how to basically counteract the effects of getting completely blown to bits.
Yes.
So she tells B'Elanna.
Thank God she knows how to do that.
And here, Susie Plaxton's ability to speak technobabble is put on full display, and she nails it. She tells B'Elanna to take the warp drive offline, then remodulate the shields to emit a beta tachyon pulse and prepare to emit a series of focused anti-proton beams to the shield bubble. And she says it faster than I just said it. So I was very impressed by Susie with that there. Yeah. And that's how we're sucked in. We're sucked into the continuum after the star goes supernova. We jump back to the scene. Now we're at the enemy general's tent. Janeway has appeared to offer this truce from Q Delancey. Let's just call him Q Delancey. And, you know, the general basically tells Janeway that the only way that this can be solved is that Q Delancey must be executed. Dun, dun, dun.
And so must she, because she's a conspirator.
She's a collaborator. Yeah, if you collaborate,
that's
the rules in the continuum, you're going
to
be...
Now, by the way, I just want to pause for a minute on Harv Presnell, Harv Presnell played this Q.
Yeah.
And
the general.
The general.
Yeah.
Harv Presnell was the original Daddy Warbucks in Annie, the musical on Broadway.
Stop it!
Which was my very first Broadway musical Broadway show that I ever saw was Annie back in 79 or whatever
wow.
year I saw it, 78.
Yeah.
And I saw Harve Presnell
on
Broadway
in
my first Broadway show. And I loved that show and loved his performance.
Did you tell him that when we filmed? Yes, I did.
Wow,
that's great.
I did tell him. I also know Harve Presnell came from the opera. He was very successful. I had a big opera career. Mm. And I got to work with Harve Presnell again a few years later on Dawson's Creek.
Oh.
I directed that show.
Yeah.
And Harve Presnell was on that show as well. So he has since passed away.
Mm.
Harve Presnell was a fantastically talented actor and was so much fun to get to work with him. He was also, I think, from the South. I'd have to look it up. But I feel like when we talked on the Voyager set, and I told him about Annie and things like that, and he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Georgia." I feel like he was from Louisiana or Mississippi or something like that. He was another Southerner who had sort of headed to New York and the theater and acting career and things like that. So anyway, loved Harve Presnell. Great actor. Great to have him on the show.
And that makes sense about the South, because I find that you find more unique American names coming from the South, you know, like a name like Harve, H-A-R-V. That's not an everyday first name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, so I do find that Southerners by nature tend to have some more unique sounding names that they name their boys and girls. Actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we jump to now we're at the enemy encampment during the daytime. Janeway and Q are being led to the firing squad.
So they're being led to the firing squad. And there's one thing that I thought was fascinating, which was, they're set to be executed, and Harve Presnell says, "Ready?" And it cuts to a shot of John DeLancey, and it snap zooms in. So what I mean by that, this is filmmaking talk, it means that you have a shot that's, let's say, composed with a loose close-up, and it all of a sudden snap zooms in really fast, very self-consciously, to a tight close-up. So Harve Presnell says, "Ready?" And it snap zooms on Q. And then back to Harve Presnell. Aim. And then it snap zooms on Janeway. Now, I've got to say, that is very edgy kinds of directing for Star Trek. We did not do that sort of self-conscious, self-aware visual style.
Yeah.
We didn't do it. It was just off limits.
Yeah.
But it stayed in the cut. And I thought that was very bold of Cliff Bowl to shoot those shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I also started thinking about the context. Like, this was probably 1996. Like, what movies were popular around then? And I bet you, I haven't even looked it up, but I bet you Pulp Fiction was around, and Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
And he was making movies with those snap zooms, which
were
kind of dated old things.
That's right.
That were coming back all of a sudden in the mid late 90s. Quentin Tarantino was making them popular again.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you Cliff Bowl, you know, that was happening in the zeitgeist. And he went back to a kind of shot that was not very typical for our show, but was kind of coming back into the vernacular. So
yeah, it definitely stood out when I was watching the utilization of the snap zoom. It was like, whoa, we don't do that. That's different completely from the norm. I will say that when we were discussing earlier in the bonus content, I was talking about how footage from that day was lost, or not lost, but overexposed. So there were a couple of canisters of film that ended up on the, you know, in the garbage can basically. And now I know exactly what was missing, because when the firing squad he's like, "Ready, aim." And then all of a sudden you have this long, you know, reaction on DeLancey's face of him going like, "Oh, I've been shot," like that. And then Janeway's like, "No, they're shooting elsewhere." And you see the Southern troops sort of firing off to the distance, you know, into the woods. It was the shot of the attack, the initial attack, that's missing. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
So
the initial attack is of myself and a whole bunch of other extras, and we're all firing at the Southern troops, basically. So the Union troops are firing at the Southern troops, the Confederate troops, excuse me. And all the footage of the initial attack en masse, because when you do, after Janeway says to Delancey, Q, she goes, no, 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 it's, you know, we didn't get shot. You see a cut to Paris and Chakotay firing.
Yeah, firing.
You see a cut of Tuvok popping around, popping his head around a tree and firing. And then you hear Chakotay's off camera line, Harry, go get the captain or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't see Harry shooting at all, and you don't see the rest of the troops. You don't. And that was the footage that was overexposed, ruined, and gone. Yeah. So because you notice it's kind of like
it's kind of weird.
It's weird. It's so what's it's very jumpy. And it's jumpy because of all the footage that was tossed. It's gone. And I feel like, you know, maybe they added some of that stuff after the fact because they lost all that footage. And it sucks because I wanted to see more of that battle scene. But
I wanted to hear more. So so the good guys win, we come over, we free Q, John Delancey Q, and then Miss Q shows up. And Janeway's like, you guys, you know, you guys are supposed to have the baby.
Yeah.
And Delancey Q says something like, oh, have you been thinking about that? Have you even thought about that? And Miss Q goes, oh, yes, I've been thinking about it. And she leans in and whispers to Q. I'm like, what is she whispering? Because he's like, oh, my. And then I'd love to know what she whispered. And then they take their fingers and they put their fingers together, and that's how they consummate. That's how the Qs consummate.
Yeah, they do the ET, the ET finger thing, and that's their copulation. Yeah.
That was it.
Ba-dum-bum.
And I think Janeway even says, was that it?
Is that it? Yeah, she was, I loved it because Delancey Q goes, he goes, Katie, don't you like watching? Don't you like to watch? So it was very naughty what he was saying to her. Remember, again, in our discussion earlier on the Patreon bonus section, I talked about slipping and falling.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now when you see female Q, you see Miss Q and Harry running. And I got to say, I look like Legolas from Lord of the Rings. I was nimble, like a elf, a wood, you know, wood realm elf. I'm sitting here jumping and everything. It looked good. I was running. Yes, but for some reason, when I run up and stop, and I'm now at where Janeway is tied to the stake, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not where I slipped. Remember I told you I slipped at a tree. So it was the moment after I undo Janeway, and then we move away and we hide behind a tree while female Q and Q are still standing at the stake, okay?
Right.
That was the point. But the thing was, Kate and I ran towards that tree, and that's when I slipped and fell on my butt.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and the pine needles that were all around that tree caused me to slip, right? And so that particular take, we don't really run. We kind of mosey over. So the moseying is because I think take number one was the slip. And that's when they were like, okay, let's just take it easier. We're not going to run. We're just going to kind of saunter over to the tree. And so that's where that slip
happened. Where it was.
But it was very, oh my gosh, probably one of the most embarrassing things that happened to me on the Voyager set was just slipping and falling on my butt. And everyone,
it's not as bad as getting your butt caught on fire, which happened to me, Garrett. We'll get there at some point.
Notice, look at that. Yeah. See how much we have in common, Robbie?
We both have butt problems.
We have
on
butt
the show.
Problems. Your butt catches on fire. My butt, I land on it, you know, out in the middle of the woods and embarrass myself. So yes, so we both have butt issues. Okay. We go back to the bridge.
Yep.
And did you notice that Janeway asks Harry, are there any more supernovas that you can detect? Mm-hmm. And then the shot is on Chakotay, and they don't rack focus to Kim. You have Chakotay sitting there pushing some buttons, and Kim's out of focus
in the background.
Right. And there was it was almost like, I don't know if Cliff Ball fell asleep at that point, but wouldn't you rack focus to the other person? The person in the foreground, Chakotay, has no lines, Robbie. He doesn't say anything. I could understand if he says something.
Yeah.
He does say something right after that, but it's not in that shot. So I thought, wow,
you know, though, I like sometimes when you play the dialogue out of focus and something else is happening.
Yes.
It can be very interesting, but I understand when it's your line. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But that moment, I don't know. That seems like kind of an odd choice to play the foreground there.
It was definitely an odd choice. And I almost feel like that they forgot that I had coverage there. You know, they were like,
they may have.
Yeah, you know,
they may have.
They just didn't get to it. And I actually, in my video reactions, I talk about there is a point, like in the beginning, the very, very beginning, when we're watching the supernovas, I'm not at my station. I'm at the center console.
At the center console, okay? I noticed.
But then
that.
If you watch everything after that, Harry's like not there. Like there's a point where Chakotay says like, or Janeway says, have Harry help you out with that. And everyone looks up towards where my station is, but it's a background actor standing there in the later shot. Like I'm not even there. So there was a little confusion.
Very
there
interesting.
Too.
Yeah.
Where again, I feel like they forgot my coverage on that one. They were like, oh yeah, we got everybody right. Moving on. And they just like, oh geez, he's supposed to be at the middle station. So
yeah.
There's some inconsistencies there. But other than that, I did enjoy the episode.
It was great. Yeah. I want to know who that little baby was at the end, Q's baby. He had a baby at the end, remember, in the little surf.
Yeah, Q's baby that doesn't look anything like Q.
Doesn't look anything like Q or Miss Q.
No. Like, and that's also in my video reaction. So,
but the baby had a very adorable little Starfleet uniform on. So, and Janeway's going to be the godmother. So it's great.
Yeah,
I thought that was great.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Here's my theme.
Okay. For this
episode. My theme is basically it's a Wizard of Oz theme. There's no place like home, meaning what you're looking for and what you go out searching for sometimes is right in your own backyard. And that was Q's lesson was he was trying to solve this with Janeway and all these other things. And his solution was right in his own backyard with Miss Q. She was right there the whole time.
Okay.
So there's no place like home and just look in your own backyard. That's my theme.
I like that. I'm going to go with all conflicts can be solved peacefully. That's my theme. And Janeway talks a little bit about that. Like, you know, she says, does this always have to be violence that you have to solve this type of an issue, a problem? Does it always have to go to violence? And it really, no, it doesn't. You know, I mean, armed conflict is literally, it's so archaic. It really is something that you should be able to avoid, you know? I mean,
agreed.
And that's what everyone should strive for at all costs, right?
What would you give this on a scale of 1 to 10?
I will give it a 7. I'm going to give it a 7.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh, you pushed it up one more?
I pushed it up a little. Yeah, usually. Okay.
Right.
Usually I'm tougher than you.
Yeah, you're very tough. Yeah, you'll give something a 2 and I'll give it a 6, right?
Yeah.
And so this time you're pushing it above to go.
I'm going to go with an 8. 8 out of 10.
All right.
Very fun episode. What's next week?
Yeah, next week we're going to be reviewing Macrocosm.
Macrocosm.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think this is sort of the Janeway Ripley episode. So kind of like when she duplicates Sigourney Weaver's role in Aliens, plural, the second movie. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll find out. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening, everybody, for our Delta Flyers recap. And thanks to our Patreon patrons. You guys are the bomb. You keep this thing going. And if anybody's interested in checking us out on Patreon, you can find the Delta Flyers there for bonus material and lots of extras that are go above and beyond this podcast recap.
Exactly. So Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.
Yeah.
And see you next week, everybody.
See ya.